So your parents' school shopped at Rosen's. That's a pretty high-end specialty store. You might owe them an apology. You were a have. Mine shopped at the Goodwill in the Salvation Army. Yeah, they did. Single mom, 7 kids. One of the reasons I got involved with that ministry is because in the 5th grade, I hadn't been to school for 2 weeks because I didn't have shoes. My ever-creative, self-sufficient mother decided to cut some tassels off a pair of majorette boots that belonged to one of my aunts. I wore them to school in the 5th grade. I guess she didn't have any shoe polish. They were still white. I can remember to this day riding on the bus going, "They are so boys' shoes." And I did that for about the first hour at school because all the bullies were making fun of me, and I spent the rest of the afternoon under the coats in the coat rack. Didn't go back to school for another 2 weeks. And there are children out there that need our help. Amen? Just like that. That was one of the worst days of my life, I could tell you. Well, God is good, though, all the time. I grew up in homes that didn't have inside bathrooms, and God's given me a home that is many times over blessed in that way. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word this morning? From 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, it says this. The first two words say, "Hannah prayed." I was sitting, as I usually do, putting sermons together and had a completely different plan, and I realized all of those letters were in capitals. "Hannah prayed." And everything got turned in a different direction. And she said, "My heart exalts and triumphs in the Lord. My horn, which is my strength, is lifted up in the Lord." Can you say amen this morning? "My mouth is no longer silent, for it's opened wide over my enemies, because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy like the Lord. There is none beside you. There is no rock," capital R, "like our God." Amen? "There is no rock like our God." I used to serve the God of rock and roll. He stole it from the God that really is the rock, I can tell you. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me, please, and let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're not only a rock, but you're a strong and mighty tower. You're a fortress that the righteous run into. God, you hide us in the shade of your love, in the palm of your hand. You cover us with your feathers, your word says, figuratively speaking. And Lord, we know that you have promised to never leave us nor forsake us, that you give us a peace that passes all understanding, because if the God of the universe is for us, who can be against us? Nothing in heaven, nothing in hell, nothing on the earth can separate us from the love of God, from the love that you have for us. And Father, we ask this morning that you would just continue to help us to be born of the Word, washed by the water of the Word. Help us to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you've called us. Help us to be those that are doers of the Word, that have hearts that are good ground, and God, that our houses are built upon a rock that cannot fall. Because, Lord, you are the only anchor, the only fortress, the only tower that this world will ever really know. Kings and kingdoms come and go. Nations come and go. Leaders come and go. But God, you remain always faithful. You said heaven and earth would pass before one jot or tittle of your word would fail. And God, you promised to never forsake us or leave us, because we are the Israel of God, grafted in, become the people that are your chosen treasure. Help us to never forget it, Father. Help us to always have our hearts and our eyes, our minds, our souls set upon you and upon your word, I pray. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. That scripture starts out and it says, Hannah prayed. If you're a Christian, you pray. You pray about big things. You pray about little things. You pray when you get up. You pray when you go to bed at night. You pray over your food. You better, because God said it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. You're praying always and walking and living in an attitude of prayer. Prayer is so simple that a little child can do it, and so complicated that the God of the universe controls it. But whatever you do, you need to pray. Jesus told us in Luke 18, verse 1, he said, told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray, and I like what the Amplified says. It says, not to turn coward, not to faint, not to lose heart, and not to give up. One of the most beautiful things about being a Christian, a real child of God, living and walking and loving God and serving Him, is that no matter what takes place in your life, no matter what happens to you, no matter what you go through, no matter what trials, no matter what circumstances confront you, when you've done everything that you can do, you always have one more thing that you can do. And what you can do is call upon the name of the Lord. He said, if you call upon my name, you will not be put to shame. God will take care of you. The world may laugh at you. Your relatives may laugh at you. People may misunderstand who and what you are, but you will not be ashamed in God. He will take care of you no matter what. And I'm grateful to God for that. You're going to be in many circumstances and situations where you're pulling your hair out and biting your nails and thinking, what do I do? Where do I go from here? And you always have one more place you can go. You can run to the Father. You can run to the throne of God. He tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace in a time of need because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Now, King James and the Amplified had it, but in the King James it says, men ought always pray and not faint. You can turn that around and say, if I don't pray, what? I'm going to faint. I'm going to faint. He said, men ought always to pray and not faint. But the parable that Jesus told didn't end there. He went on to say this. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither reverenced and feared God nor respected or considered man. Poor judge. He probably ended up being president at some point. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, protect and defend and give me justice against my adversary or my enemy. For a time he would not, but later he said to himself, though I have neither reverence or fear for God nor respect or consideration for man, yet because this widow continues to bother me, I will defend and protect and avenge her, lest she give me intolerable annoyance. And, and wear me out by her continual coming. Or at the last, she come and rail on me or assault me or strangle me. Somebody's happier than I am over here this morning. That's good. That's good. I love it. You don't want to get a woman upset, right? That's part of what Jesus is telling us. Walt's wife used to tell me all the time before she went on to be with the Lord. She said, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So you got to take care of mama. Then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not our just God defend and protect and avenge his elect, his chosen ones, who cry to him day and night? Will he defer them and delay help on their behalf? He said, I tell you, he will defend and protect and avenge them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistent in faith people on the earth? I want to tell you something. Sometimes we have not because we ask not. James told us that. Sometimes we have not because we ask amiss. James also told us that. He said, sometimes you ask just because you want to fulfill your lust. And that's some of those prayers that God doesn't answer because it won't be good for you. Not everything you think you need, do you really need? Thank God. I believe it was Garth Brooks said, thank God for unanswered prayers. Thank God he doesn't answer all of them. But you know, another reason sometimes that we don't get an answer to our prayer is that we stop too soon. We stop too soon. Instead of really interceding, it tells us in the book of Timothy there's four types of prayer. There's intercession, there's thanksgiving, there's groaning and moaning, it uses another word, and then there's just prayers. Prayers are like what I just prayed here publicly. To intercede is when you are standing between God and someone else and interceding on their behalf. When you're moaning and groaning is when you have a need that is so deep and so desperate that you can't even put it into words. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit will turn those moanings and groanings into intercession before the throne. But it also talks about laboring in prayer. We don't know much about that these days because we don't do much of it. But there was a time when churches were filled and the altars were filled in our church services with people who would just stay and pray until God changed the situation or changed them. That's usually what happens. God changes us. And we keep praying, like the old saints used to say, until we pray through. Till we know God said yes or God said no. But there's not much of that going on today. And we miss out on a lot of things because we don't pray like that. Or we don't keep praying. You don't hear much of it anymore, thank God. But a decade or so ago, people were saying dumb stuff like, well, if you ask God for something more than once, you don't have faith and you're not really praying. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard in light of Scripture. Jesus just said, he said, be like that nagging woman that went to that judge who didn't fear God, didn't fear man, but that woman wouldn't shut up till the judge said, you know what, if I don't do something, they're just going to bug me to death. I probably should have named this bugging God to death prayer. That's what I should have named it. Bug God. Say, God, you know I asked you about this. I talked to you about, be like one of your little ones. Mom, 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 what do you want? Mom, mom, mom. You don't want to give it to them. It ain't good for them. They don't need it, but you want to shut them up. Now, God won't give you what you don't need, what's harmful to you. But you know, just like Abraham, when he was praying about Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was praying about Lot. Remember Abraham, God said, or Abraham said to God, he said, God, if there's 10 righteous people in that town, will you spare the city for those 10? He said, yes, I will. He said, God, don't get mad, don't get upset, I'm going to bug you a little bit. God, if there were only 5 righteous people in that city, would you spare them? God said, yes. He said, God, now wait a minute, just one more time, I got one more thing to say. Mom, mom, dad, dad. If there were 2, I don't know, Sodom and Gomorrah might have been spared. Abraham quit. Abraham quit. He could have got down to 1 because the son-in-law Lot was still there and he was there. But he didn't. Sometimes our prayers aren't answered because we don't keep praying about it long enough. Some of the prayers that should be prayers that we labor in are like our headache prayers over our meals, you know. God bless this food in Jesus' name. Honey, did I pray or not? We've all done it. I've done it. You've done it. Have we prayed yet? Yeah, we did. Oh, I missed it. Somehow. And I'll tell you something else about prayer. You can either pray or worry. Those are the 2 options you have. You say, no, Pastor Ken, I've learned to pray and worry. I know, and you're really good at it, aren't you? God, I'm asking you to do something. I'm asking you to help me, but just in case you don't come through, I'm going to continue to worry about it until you do. No, keep asking until he does. Keep asking until he does. Turn your worry into prayer and praise. Philippians 4:6, it says, be anxious for nothing. That's worrisome. Some translations even say that. Be anxious for nothing. God, I don't know what I'm going to do. But you do. You do. Nothing is ever the end for God. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He's always got somewhere to go. He's got somewhere else to take you. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Supplication. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Do you hear what he said? Well, I don't know if I can pray about that. It's not really that big a deal, and God's probably busy and probably got a lot of other things to do. There is nothing too small that you can't pray to God about it. In fact, Jesus talked about another little woman. She lost some coins in her house, and she prayed. That's a good thing to do when you lose things. I usually look for 2 hours, and then I pray, and then I find it. I need to flip that. You do too. You know, it's some of that self-sufficiency that Steve talked about. God, I got this. He's like, yeah. God, I have looked everywhere 5 times. It's over there. I'm telling you, more times than not. But he says, in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving. There was a family in our church 30 years ago come up one Sunday night in a Sunday night service. They said, we're taking a trip to Ohio. It was a husband and wife and 2 kids. And they said, you know, we really haven't done a lot of interstate traveling and traveling across country. They said, would you pray for us in the middle of our church service? I said, absolutely. We prayed for them. They took that trip, and on the way out there, a steel beam came off the back of a truck, went right down through the middle of their windshield, right between all 4 of them, and into the back seat. The mom came up to me, and she said, you prayed for us last Sunday, and we were in this terrible accident. I said, you're still here. I said, did anybody get hurt? Did it touch? She said, not a one. I said, the car is gone. I said, you can get another one of them. She said, well, man, I didn't know it worked like that. I said, well, you asked us to pray to save you. You didn't ask us to pray to save the car. And I'm telling you, pray. Don't only pray over your food. Pray every time you get in the car. Pray every time you go anywhere. Pray when you mow your grass. Pray about everything. Get up and talk to God first thing. And you don't have to be all elaborate about it, and it doesn't have to be all prolonged. You just need to say, God, I love you, and I know you love me, and I've made some plans today, but if you want to change them, that's okay. And God, help me to forgive those who trespass against me, because I know I trespassed against you, God, and you know what? Hopefully you and I are going to have a good day today. But either way, I know you're with me, God. It's better to do it first and get things covered. You say, man, Pastor, can you say, I'm not superstitious at all. You know what superstition is? It's a belief based on ignorance. That's the Webster definition of it. A belief in God and a belief that's based on his word is not a belief believed in ignorance. Now, wearing a St. Christopher medal and thinking you're bulletproof, that's superstition. You know, that type of thing. It said, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. One benefit you have in coming to this church is that there is a group that gets together every Saturday. I'm a part of the group, and there are a number of them here, and I'm not going to call them out. But we get together every Saturday morning, and we pray about our situations. We pray for every family in this church. We pray for your health. We pray for your protection. We pray for the salvation of your children and your grandchildren and your aunts and your uncles. We pray for the church because there's only one church. We pray for every pastor in the world. We pray for every Christian in the world. We pray for those that are being persecuted all around the world. Why? Because we are not self-sufficient. And God said, you have not because you ask not. And you might be here this morning and saying, you know, life's still pretty tough. Well, just think how tough it would be if we weren't praying for you. You get some steel beams through the windshield once in a while, right? But God still keeps his hand on you. But he always says with prayer, make sure you do it with thanksgiving. I am so convicted every time I read that story of the 10 lepers. You know, the 9 of them, they got healed, just took off, didn't say hi, bye, or squat. I can relate to that a lot of times as a pastor. Help me, help me, help me. We helped you. Nothing. No thank you, no bye, no nothing. But that's okay. Jesus said, when you give, give expecting nothing. I've learned to do it. But I don't want to be that way with God. Don't only learn to pray for things, learn to give thanks for the prayers when they're answered. Every time God comes through for me, the first thing I want to do is offer up praise and thanksgiving to God. I don't want to be a little spoiled brat that he just keeps lauding his blessings and favor on, and I just run around like, well, you owe me that. No, I want to give thanks and praise God. That's one of the reasons I come to church regular, Brother Steve. I got a lot to thank God about every single Lord's Day. We ought to have a couple more Lord's Days in the week just to thank him for everything that he does. You might have all the money that you think you need. You might have health and all the health you think you need. You might have every possession. But I got to tell you something. Every breath that you take is in the hand of God. There's no such thing as you being self-sufficient. Nobody. But learn to be thankful. And you know what? Thankful people are content people. Thankful people are people who enjoy life. God wants you to be thankful, not because he's on an ego trip and needs you to laud him. He wants you to be thankful because when you are thankful, you will learn to see the cup half full all the time instead of half empty. You know, you see them on social media. There's people that think they are the only people in the world that ever have any problems or that anything ever goes wrong for, and they don't mind telling everybody about it and whining about it all the time. But they can never see the blessing and the favor of God. I feel sorry for people like that. That's got to be a miserable existence. You know, where everybody else has, but you don't have. You can't see one thing that is good in life. And reality is we all, especially in this country, like Brother Steve said, we have so much to be grateful for and thankful for every day of our lives, even when we're going through the trials that we're going through. You know, Mama used to say to me all the time, she said, Kay, I don't care how bad things are, look around. There's always somebody in worse condition than you are. So be grateful for whatever it is, even if it's white majorette boots. The scripture goes on about Hannah, and it says, her heart was in exultation and triumph in the Lord over her enemies. We like to win, don't we? We like to come out on top. And that's good, because God said, I'm going to make you the head and not the tail. You're going to be victorious in Christ. You're going to come out on top every single time. You are. And when you leave this world, you're coming out on top again. The clouds, the world, the creation, and everything in it. Her heart was rejoicing. Don't you love those times? Those times when things are going good and things are going right and you've punched the enemy in the nose and he's backed off and you know, man, this is good. I've learned to drink very deeply. I used to think it was selfish to enjoy those times. It isn't. You need to drink very deeply because they don't last either through everything. So I'm like, man, let me drink deep of this while it's going on. Let me just drain every drop out of it. Let me squeeze it like a sponge and thank you, God. The good things are here. And that's where Hannah was. See, God had given her a child. She had prayed. She had begged. She had persevered with persistence at the throne of God. She had said, God, 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 I'm not letting go till you give me what I'm asking for. And God gave her a child. You got to watch God. He'll trick you like that. He tricked her. She wanted it so bad. She said, God, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you his whole life. God said, yep, that's what I was waiting on. Jesus, in one place, he said, can he pray the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the harvest? I remember being in church, needing help in ministry, didn't have workers to help, and I prayed, God, send laborers into the Lord of the harvest. You're the Lord of the harvest. Raise up laborers. God, we need laborers in the kingdom. You know what he said to me? You're it. You're it. You've asked long enough. You want it bad enough. I'm going to make you one of them. Trick me. God will trick you in good ways, though. You know, she was talking at this point about how God had exalted her horn over her enemies. God will do that. We've all got enemies. We've all got critics. We've all got people who will not align with us in the way that they should. But you know, God said, when your ways please him, he said, I'll make even your enemies to be at peace with you. It's not only that, but I'll make sure your righteousness shines forth as the noonday in front of them. Now, it takes time sometimes. It takes time sometimes. But if you just stay faithful to God and you just stay on true north and you just keep walking with God, he'll take care of your enemies. He really will. He might even use you to get some of them saved if you act right. In Romans 12:17, it says this about our enemies. It says, repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is honest and proper and noble, aiming to be above reproach in the sight of everyone. I see people posting on Facebook, don't you judge me. I'm a Christian. Nobody judges me but God. I got to tell you something. If you're saying that, you don't even know God. Because as a Christian, you're supposed to be living in a way that everybody can judge you. In fact, he wants them to look at you. He wants you to be a city that's like a light set on a hill that cannot be hid. I've told you before, people hack my Facebook page, I don't change nothing. I said, if they keep reading mine long enough, they'll get saved. That's right, hacker, get in there, read it all. Take it all and take it in. And I just keep on trucking. Well, you better change your password. Well, they found that one. What makes you think they ain't going to find it again? But here's the thing. We're not supposed to repay evil for evil to anybody. Well, boy, I'm going to get them. No, you're not. No, you're not. Not if you're a Christian, you're not. What you got to do is leave them to God. Leave them to God. He's better at it anyway. And there's a reason for that. It says, be proper and honest and noble in the sight of everyone. Other people doing wrong to you is not an excuse for you to do wrong. Somebody's got to do right all the time. In Matthew 5:44, it says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Well, you don't know who I work with, Pastor Ken. It doesn't matter. You know what my neighbors are like. It doesn't matter. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And I got to tell you something about love. Love can be an emotion, but an emotion, the emotion of love, is a feeling you get after you do the act of love. Love is not just an emotion. When he says love your enemies, he doesn't mean you got to have the warm fuzzies for them. What he means is you choose to treat them right and to do right and to be in a right relationship with them regardless of how you feel. When Jesus was hanging, dying on the cross for you, trust me, he did not have the warm fuzzies for you. But he did it anyway. See, real love is an act of your will. It's choosing to do the right thing and to treat people the right way, regardless of how you feel. I like to hug my enemies because it messes with their heads. If I find out you don't like me, I'm going to love you to pieces. I am. Why? Because I want you to know the God of love. I want you to know that there's a better way. I want you to know that there's an eternal kingdom coming where hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness and malice and all the things that make this world such a terrible place sometimes does not exist. And I want to live there. I want to live there. He said, you need to do this to show that you're the children of your Father who's in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the wicked and on the good, and he makes the rain fall upon the upright and the wrongdoers alike. We had a big discussion in Bible study, Saturday morning Bible study. If you're just sleeping in on Saturdays, I know some of you work, and you got to do yard work and all the other stuff, but if you're just laying around being lazy and sleeping in, you need to come out and come to our Saturday morning Bible study. If you can't make it for prayer meeting at 9, come to the Bible study at 10. It'll change your life. We talked a lot yesterday, and I forgot this was in my message, but we talked a lot yesterday about God's love. Do you know that God loves you so much, there's nothing you can do to make him not love you? I know that because his word says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You think when you make a mistake, you think when you blow it, that somehow God doesn't love you as much, and you think when you're doing really good, he loves you more. It never changes with him, ever. He is going to love every lost person. When they've been in hell for 10,000 years, he will still love them as much as he loves you right now. You cannot change God's love. God is love. He can't be anything else. God is love. But then we talked about God's love, but then there's our love. The problem is never, in your life or mine, is never God's love. It's, do we love God? You can settle it once and for all. God loves you. Period. Settle. Forever. But do you love him enough to be in a relationship with him? And see, all Jesus is saying here, he's saying, if you're really a child of God who is your Father, then you're going to have to learn to be like him. And he loves everybody unconditionally all the time. Now, I explained to the Bible study group yesterday, because there are thousands of Christians that have this wrong. You'll hear them say this. Well, you know, I sin every day. I'm a sinner saved by grace. But God loves me unconditionally. So it don't matter if I mess up and I do wrong. And God loves me unconditionally. And they think it means this. They think it means no matter what I do or how I live, as long as I intellectually acknowledge God, his love will cover everything else. That is one of the biggest lies of hell in our day, and there are thousands of church people that are going to end up in hell, not because they don't know better, but because they have chosen to believe a lie. If that were true, nobody's going to hell. Everybody gets in. And that's what everybody thinks. Because us preachers got to lie about so many of you at your funerals. Oh, they love God. You know, have you noticed Hollywood? You can be a porn star, but when you die, you're up in heaven looking down on everybody. Now, God does love us unconditionally. But being in a relationship with him has a lot of conditions. And we do talk all the time, right? It's not religion and it's not just a belief. It's a relationship. Isn't that what we tell everybody? Jesus is my personal Savior. You don't hear that much anymore because most people aren't that personal with him. Remember, you used to hear that all the time. Jesus is my personal Savior. What that means is I know him personally, Deedon. Right? Yeah. All Jesus is saying is, if you're going to be a child of God, you've got to learn to love like he loves. And you know how he loves? Unconditionally. Love your enemies even. Do good to them that hate you and despitefully use you. And persecute you, that you may be like your Father in heaven. Listen to this. He says, if you love those who love you, what reward can you have? Don't the people at the IRS do that? He said tax collectors, but the same thing. He said, and if you greet only your brethren, what more than others are you doing? I was riding in the car with somebody, I don't know, it was a couple years ago, and I waved at somebody that was coming the other way, and I waved them. They said, do you know them? I said, no. They said, you wave at people you don't know? I said, well, how are you ever going to get to know them? You're looking at a man that I believe we are in the ocean called mankind. You're my brother. You're my sister. You're supposed to be a part of my family. I don't have to know you personally to wave at you, to be nice to you, to talk to you, to say good things to you, to show Jesus to you. I don't have to know you personally. Now, I know there's some people, they think that. I say hi to some people and they're like, I didn't ask you on a date, I just said hi. Yeah, I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to say something, but I ain't. Okay, Lord. All right. No. You ain't God, and I ain't saying it, Susie. Listen, he said, if you greet only your brethren, what more are you doing than others? Don't even the Gentiles, the heathen, the unsaved do that. You therefore must be perfect, growing into complete maturity of godliness in mind and character, having reached the proper height of virtue and integrity, as your heavenly Father is perfect. You know how we all been running around saying, nobody's perfect. Go home and get your concordance out and see how many times the word perfect is in the New Testament. Now, we're not talking about sinless perfection. You never make a mistake. But you know what the Bible calls perfection? Hearing the Word of God and obeying it. You're right. You're not sinlessly perfect, but you can be perfectly obedient to the Scriptures. God did not give us a Christianity and a religion that is impossible to live. None of it. If God asks you to do it, you can do it. In fact, He will help you do it. And He said, love your enemies, do good to those that hate you. Pray for them. In your prayers, pray for them. I vote in every election that I can legally vote in. But I pray for everybody that's leading this country. So is our prayer group on Saturdays. We pray, God, from the highest office to the lowest office in this land, save them, heal them, give them wisdom, give them grace, give them understanding. Why do you do that? Are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican? I do that because I'm a Christian. God said, if you do that, I'll let you live a peaceful and quiet and godly life. And I do. You may not, but I do. Romans 12:19, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave the ways open for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. See, the reason we need to do that, one, we need to be loving everybody. And secondly, God is the only one that can clearly judge any human heart and any human life. There are people at times that you and I want to take revenge on, and we're in the wrong. We don't know it. We think we're right, but we're wrong. All right, maybe you're holier than me, but I've done that. I've done that. But see, if we leave things up to God, He will take care of it. He will take care of it fairly. He will take care of it justly. He will take care of it rightly. The only problem you and I usually have is He doesn't do it in the time frame that we think He should all the time. See, there's laws of God that govern this universe. Even it doesn't matter whether you're a believer or not. You're going to reap what you sow. I don't care who you are. That's like the law of gravity. You can say, well, I'm going to do it and I'm going to get away with it. No, you're not. Nobody gets away with anything forever. Forever. So God isn't saying He isn't going to take care of your enemies. He's just saying, leave it up to me. I heard a wise preacher say this one time in a different vein. He said, if you're going to crucify yourself, make sure you use rubber nails. But let Jesus do it. He's a carpenter. That's right. Let Jesus do it. Now, pray for your enemies. Do good. Quit worrying about everything. Be like Hannah. Just pray. And then when I read the rest of this, Hannah sounded just like Mary after Gabriel had come and said, you know what? You're going to give birth to the Messiah. Remember what we call the Magnificat? Where Mary just takes off in the Spirit and she's just rejoicing in God. Hannah's doing the same thing. I mean, she's blessed from her head to her toes. She is blessed to the bone and the marrow. Like Kylie, she just can't stand still sometimes. Listen to what Mary said. This is in the Message Bible. It said, God took one good look at me and look what happened. How many of you are grateful that God took one good look at you today? She said, I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. This is Mary, the mother of Jesus, talking. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others. His mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him. That's why I'm constantly telling you, yes, you're saved by grace, but please, dear God, obey the scriptures. You want God's favor and blessing to flow like wave after wave after wave over your life. She said, he bared his arm and showed his strength and scattered the bluffing braggarts. He knocked tyrants off their high horses, pulled victims out of the mud. You know why? Because there's no rock like our God. There's no king like our God. There is no other God. And he is everything. And he is our rock. But you don't know that unless you live for him. The lost cannot see God. But Jesus said, if you'll do my word, you'll learn, you'll see, you'll know. He said, if you obey my word, he said, my Father and I will come to you and manifest ourselves to you. John 17. Manifest means show himself. He said, you just do what I tell you, I will show up in your life. The Father and I will manifest ourselves to you. I've told you over and over again what I told that atheist there a couple years back. He said, oh, the Bible ain't true. God don't exist. I said, you got to me too late. I've already seen him. He's real. He's alive. He's manifested himself. It's too late, buddy. You can't talk to me about that. He said, well, I don't know if the Bible's true. I said, I don't even care. I said, you can rip every page out of it and throw it away, and it still isn't going to make any difference to me. He was all intellectual and stuff, and he was going to argue me into being lost again. You can't do it. Man, I was lost. I am not going back there. I don't have to. I know what being lost is. You're not tricking me. I'm staying found. I heard another song lately. Somebody said, I found Jesus. Somebody said, was he lost? Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Too many churchgoers, too many people that profess Christianity. You know where God lives in our lives? Right here. He's in our head. We talk about him. We sing about him. We might even think about him. We might even read his word and memorize it. But we don't do what he says. And James said, if you do that, you're like a person that goes and looks in the mirror for a little while and then you walk away and you can't even remember what you look like. You can't remember what God looks like. Don't get this close to heaven and miss it, like somebody said, by 18 inches. All of us have about 18 inches from the top of our head to where our heart is. Don't miss heaven by 18 inches. Jesus said, if you love me, if you really love me, you'll do what I tell you to do. He said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied or preached in your name and driven out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name? Can I tell you that the devil will let you do counterfeit signs and wonders if that's what it takes to send you to hell, as long as you don't live for God? He'll let you come to church every Sunday and go to Sunday school and to where you have Sunday school pens dragging down to the floor, as long as you don't really do what God says. He'll let you buy Christian albums, and he'll let you buy big Bibles, and he'll let you put stickers on your refrigerator and on the bumper of your car, as long as you don't really do what God wants you to do. He'll even get people who don't know him to tell you what a wonderful Christian you are, as long as you won't do what God wants you to do. He doesn't care what he trades. Judas sold his soul for 30 pieces of silver. The devil will, he'll trade for less if you'll let him. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Many will say to me on that day, haven't we preached in your name, driven out demons in your name, done many mighty works in your name? And then he said, then I will say to them openly and publicly, I never knew you. See, there's a difference between you knowing about me and knowing me. There's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. You got to do what the Word says if you want the Father and the Son to come into a relationship with you. Jesus said so. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them, obeying them, will be like a sensible, prudent, practical, wise man who built his house upon a rock. The world's going to hell in a basket at Mach speed. That's a speed of sound, probably 10 times that fast. But you don't have to. You don't have to. There are churches full of people on their way to hell. Some of you are on your way to hell this morning, but you don't have to. All you have to do is ask Jesus to forgive you of your past life, and we all need forgiven of our past life. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then ask him to show you the way. He is the truth, the life, and the way. And then all you got to do is start getting in the book. Well, I don't know how to read that book. You didn't know how to ride a bicycle either when you first got on it. Just open the thing up, and this is what I'm going to tell you. Don't worry about what you don't understand. Do the parts you do understand, and God will reveal the rest. You're without excuse. Jesus said, had I not come and spoken the words to them that no other man did, they'd have a cloak for their sin. He said, but as it is, we're all without excuse, especially us Americans, especially us Americans. And if you do what it says, your house is going to be built upon a rock. You're going to live in a life here that is abundant, abundant. Say, Pastor Ken, you ever get sick? Yeah. Pastor Ken, you ever have bad things happen to you? Yeah. Pastor Ken, you ever have loved ones that you love die? Yeah. Life happens to all of us. But I'm telling you, it is all sweeter and better and easier when Jesus Christ lives in your heart and lives in your life, and you live in him. In verse 25, and I'm going to end with this. I want the worship team to come to the platform if you would. It said, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and they beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had been founded upon the rock. You know why? Because there is no rock like our God. There is no rock like our God. You can count on him for time and eternity. Amen. If you're not right with God, it's time to get right with God today, right where you're at. All you got to do is say, God, I hear what that preacher's saying. And if you don't hear it today and you die and you go to hell, you're going to be hearing what I said today. You're going to be hearing my voice for eternity. and wishing to God that you had decided today to give it all to God. Amen? Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Let's worship.
Heavenly Father, we just come before you, your presence, to say that you are worthy. You are so worthy. We honor your holy name, Father God. Oh, Father God, we love you. Thank you for loving us when we were unlovely. Thank you, Father God, for loving us. You are so worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Name above all names. Oh, Father God, that we might bow before you now, before judgment day. Let us bow now, Father God, on our own will, to say that you're our King, that you're our Savior. You're our all in all. We need you, Father God. We need you every second of the day. Father, we come before you with grateful hearts that we can come freely to this house of God to worship you and to honor you. We're grateful for other believers around us that we call brothers and sisters and Lord. Lord, I'm thankful that they chose today to honor you, to come, and not to stay at home. Thank you, Lord, that they made you a priority in their life. They chose you, Father God. They chose you. They chose to be here with you today, Father God. They denied themselves, their fleshly desires to stay home and be comfortable and to just do what they wanted. But they came today, Father God, to honor you with their presence, to say, we love you. Father, we thank you for this gift of prayer, that we can freely come to you, that we don't need a high priest to pray for us. We can come before you on our own will. And Father God, I ask that you remove that fear from our lives, Father God, that says, I don't know how to pray. How do you pray to the God of the universe? Teach us, Father God, that he's our Abba, he's our Daddy, he's our Father. Teach us how to pray, Father God. Take away that fear that rules and reigns in our lives, Father God, that prevents us from coming to you. Remove that fear, Father God. Teach us, Holy Spirit, to pray, to submit to you. Lord, I do lift my brothers and sisters up to you right now. Everyone that's here and not here. Father, I don't know all of the situations and circumstances in our life, but I know life is real. I know life is real. There's some things that are going to happen this week, Father, where they're unexpected and unpleasant. Lord, I just lift my brothers and sisters up to you, Lord, that you comfort them and guide them and direct them. Father, there's going to be times this week where we're on the mountaintop with you. Help us to drink deeply, Father God, at those times, to say that you're my God, you're my Savior, you're my provider, you're God sufficient for me. Father God, the field is ready for harvest. I ask that you send your laborers out now, Father God, to harvest those souls that are ready to be harvested. Maybe they're not ready to be harvested this week, this day. But Father God, help us to plant that seed then. Plant that seed of that hope that you have placed within us. Help us to plant that seed in their life, Father God. Help us to love people, Father God, when they're unlovely. I pray for divine appointments this week, Father, for each one of us. Father God, we have schedules and plans already made out, whether it's work or school or shopping or vacations. We have plans and we have schedules. Father God, would you put in our heart that we be willing to deviate from our plans and our schedules to let you have those divine appointments in our life. Help us, Lord, to see those appointments that you have set before us. I ask that you put a word in our heart and our mouth, Father God, for those who need to hear your word. Oh, Father God, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you to strengthen us, to guide us, and to stir us, and to convict us. Thank you, Father God, for loving each one of us. Thank you, Lord, that you forgive us when we come before you. I ask that now that you have your hand of protection upon each one of us as we travel to and fro. Just have your hand upon us. Speak to us. Let us hear your voice, Father God, in the coming days. In Jesus' name, amen.